parking falls to private companies due to struggling DOT budgets and a growing list of demands, such as the asphalt and bridge repairs. Of more than 300,000 parking spots nationwide noted on the Jason's Law study, only 36,000 were public. Even when companies like Pilot and TA try to build truck parking, residents and local communities fiercely oppose.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As the federal investigation into a deadly train crash in Hoboken, New Jersey last Thursday takes some unexpected turns, New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie says,
"We don't know if it was error by the engineer, whether there was a medical emergency with the engineer, which caused him to lose control, or whether it was some other type of mechanical failure."
Correspondent Mitch Levy says the engineer has made some unusual claims.
As engineer Thomas Gallagher said, everything seemed normal as he approached the Hoboken terminal, but he has no recollection of the accident itself.
Also, one of the two data recorders they hoped would shed light on what happened was installed back in 1995 and was not working at the time of the crash. They're hoping another such device they haven't been able to recover yet was working. The most powerful hurricane to threaten the Caribbean in nearly a decade, bearing down on Haiti and Jamaica today. It could have a brush with the eastern United States later this week. This is USA Radio News.
Are your muscles and joints always tired? Hi, Willie Hayes here for Original Blue Emu Super Strength Cream. The easiest way to soothe those tired muscles and joints. Original Blue Emu is not like any ordinary cream. It's America's number one emu oil formulated topical cream. It's odor-free and simple as 1, 2, 3. Find out why there's so many loyal users. Give Original Blue Emu a try today. Yes, I said today. Available at nationwide retailers.
You might not know it, but fall is the perfect time to feed your lawn. So this football season, you can spend halftime eating some lukewarm bean dip. Or you can head outside and run some lawn feeding routes using Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food. The conditions are ideal for grass to grow deep roots, so your lawn will be stronger come spring. So forget the room temperature dip. Get out there and pick up your bag today. Fall time is yard time with Scott's.
The issue du jour on the Sunday morning news programs this week, documents obtained by the New York Times showing that Donald Trump took a loss of nearly $1 billion in 1995 and could have not paid taxes then for as many as 18 years because of that deduction.
Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani says this shows Trump's economic genius.
If Donald Trump hadn't taken those losses, he could have been sued by his investors. He could have been sued by his business partners.
That's Giuliani on NBC's Meet the Press.
That's USA's Joe Gomez. The Cleveland, Ohio Police Patrolmen's Association endorses Donald Trump for president, the first time it's ever endorsed a presidential hopeful.
And I really do believe, you know, what we have to say in this matters. And that's in the best interest, by the way, of all law-abiding citizens.
That's Union Chief Steve Loomis. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton picks up the endorsement of a popular figure in that key state as well, Cleveland Cavaliers star LeBron James. This is USA Radio News.
First, Gary from accounting came in with the sniffles. Just a cold, he said, but it was not a cold. Then Janet breaks out in a heavy sweat. It's the flu. Then round and round the office it goes. But when it's your turn, well, it's not going to be your turn because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're waiting for the coughing, sore throat, aching flu to pass, you can go to the big game. Score! Shield yourself with a flu shot from Rite Aid before it's too late. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
A new warning from a Senate Democrat about the threat of a dirty bomb being set off in a major city. And here's more from correspondent Mitch Levy.
The warning comes from New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who cites a federal report exposing a loophole that almost anyone can use to buy radioactive material. The material, he says, can be used to make a dirty bomb and carry out an attack on New York or elsewhere.
I'm calling on the NRC, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, to completely overhaul its nuclear licensing protocol and toughen things up.
He calls it simply shocking that in a post-9/11 world, we don't have a rigorous background check system in place for any entity that seeks to buy radioactive material. Mitch Levy, New York.
Meanwhile, a Democratic congressman on the House Intelligence Committee says there's no doubt Russia is responsible for some recent hacking attacks on state election systems.
I have no doubt, and I don't think the administration has any doubt. It's not a question of evidence.
That's California Representative Adam Schiff on ABC's This Week, saying the White House needs to publicly call out the Kremlin for its efforts to destabilize confidence in American elections. And as the baseball postseason ends on Sunday, so does the career of a baseball broadcasting legend.
So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
Dodger broadcaster Vin Scully calling it a career after 67 years. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's 66 outside right now. Flemington and the surrounding areas. Let's see, today, slight chance of showers later on this afternoon with a high in the 70s. On the overnight, early in the morning, another showers continuing, low in the 50s. Cloudy on Tuesday, clearing up. Otherwise, high in the upper 60s, down in the 50s at night Tuesday. Looks like the same Wednesday, sunny. High near 68, low around 50 Wednesday night. Sunny again on Thursday. Possible showers coming by again this weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Chef Jake's in Flemington here for 25 years, getting together on Monday mornings to talk about food and beverages and related topics, I guess. Let's see, tomorrow, what are we celebrating this week? Tomorrow's Taco Day, and looks like the 11th is Sausage Pizza Day. Apple Betty on the 5th, which will lead us to probably explore some apples. Recipes today, apples, it's the fall, and so we start thinking of fruit like that, even though apples are available year-round. Fall is when we start to, of course, the big harvest in a lot of areas, and cider, actually, the hard cider has really peaked in the last couple of years. We've always enjoyed it, but it's really so many more products out there, and very good ones, some okay. But local, here the Millick's Farm, he's producing hard cider now, and it's you know, the next thing, you have your sweet cider that's made from the fresh apples, and your hard cider, some of the varieties are a little bit different. They're not as good an eating apple, so sometimes the producers have to switch over their orchards, get some new varieties and some new trees to give you the characteristics that you'd expect in a fairly dry hard cider. Hard cider meaning you take the apple juice, it has some sugar in it. Sometimes you may have to add a little bit of sugar or concentrate depending on the sweetness of the apples, and then a little bit of yeast, and let it ferment. And it ends up being like a, well, maybe 5 to 6, 7% alcohol, just like a beer. Although you could do it even less than that if you choose not to add too much sugar. Sometimes they'll ferment a little bit less alcohol. Or by putting a quick freeze on it. Of course, when you freeze a hard cider, this was a quick way we used to make Applejack, which was probably has its roots up in New England, but Applejack itself was first produced in New Jersey. Nice apple brandy. If you're familiar with Calvados from the Normandy region of France, that's another apple brandy, but probably more on the level of cognac. They will take, of course, apples and butter and cream and cheese in Normandy, things that area of France is famous for. The apple ends up being, instead of growing wine grapes, they use apples for their cooking, for their beverage. And the Calvados, of course, is have your fermented apple juice, and then you distill that, and then, of course, age it like you do brandy or cognac. Comes nice and refined, picks up the characteristics of the oak. Beaconskiff Farms, Lafayette, New York, they do hard cider, and they also distill a vodka and a gin from apples. It seems vodka is being made with many things now. And you have the Chirac that's done from grapes, and traditionally, you know, we would think of vodka as maybe from plants or grains. But, of course, now we're, I guess the fact that it's a clear spirit, unaged, and supposedly has not much flavor, although the apple vodka really has a nice little apple in the nose. The gin, very good with the botanicals, kind of complement the apple flavor in there. But Applejack, the quick way we used to do it is freeze the hard cider, and you take all of what doesn't freeze and half of what does freeze and mix that. And, of course, what you've done is got rid of some of the water, and the alcohol doesn't freeze, so you have something a little bit stronger. But anyway, I've always found, you know, cooking with wine, spirits, adds that little bit of fermented product. I don't know if you could say umami, I guess, that for the current buzzword. But what happens with alcohol in cooking is it kind of bridges the gap between fats and waters, because alcohol is both fat and water soluble, and kind of helps those types of flavors come together. And that's why something, even though you've cooked off most of the alcohol, I won't ever say that all of it's gone away, but it still helps tie a sauce together very well. And so if you're, I mean, I know when I used to make a, you know, chicken or pork or something, even at home, if I didn't have wine to cook with to make a sauce, the cider would always work. So we'll talk about some ways to use apples, both sweet and savory in salad. I mean, really, apples could be used across your whole menu. We at now our fall salad, we do a kale Waldorf. Waldorf, of course, being the classic apples and mayonnaise, walnuts. Well, we use the kale, but the flowering kale, not the dark kale that needs to be chopped and massaged, if you will. Sometimes you have to soften up. The flowering kale, it's kind of a, you know, like a light cabbagey taste, good texture to it, beautiful color. Have some green, some white, and tinged with a little red or rose color. Really nice in a salad. And with the fresh apples, and an apple dressing, apple vinaigrette, spiced walnuts, a little bit of celery, and you've stretched out the Waldorf into something with greens. But a Waldorf by itself, and you know, it's, apples and mayonnaise, why, you know, what is that? But really, it is, we found it was a nice accompaniment to cheese. If you want to have, we used to do a baked brie, and most people put a raspberry or something with it. We did the Waldorf salad with a little individual baked brie, nice little snack, served with some grilled bread or nice, good crackers, water biscuits, good stuff. So that the apples become usable, as I say, with you know, in soups, salads, main dishes, and of course we think of desserts. So apples. Let's see. Oh, the sausage pizza. Now, just before we go to break here, if you count other cured meats as sausage, you can really get some nice variations. Instead of, you know, you just get the crumbled hot or sweet sausage that goes on, and that's very good. I like a soppressata, which I would call a sausage. It's, you know, it's a cured product. Hot soppressata, a little julienne radicchio, and some hot peppers. And I used hot pickled peppers. It was some peppercinis and some jalapenos. You want that little sharpness from the vinegar. And those on a, you know, regular pizza, a little bit of your sauce and cheese. And the neat thing afterwards when this comes out is drizzle a little bit of honey. And you think, oh, why would, you know, honey on a pizza? But really with a hot sausage and that pickled peppers, the bitterness of the radicchio, that honey really does swell. So try some different sausage toppings. It could be smoked, could be cured. Pepperoni, of course, is that a sausage? Well, it kind of looks like one. You know, it's kind of a tubular shape there, so I'd count everything. So enjoy a sausage pizza. Sausage also, obviously, in tacos. Many ways to do tacos. We'll probably have to do a show on the different types, not just your flour tortilla. So anyway, we're going to take a break. Got a couple of messages here, and then we'll come back and start to talk about some apples, Chef Bill's Table. Are you gathering up the
teas? Have you had enough of mine? At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill. So apples, think of all the products with apples. Of course, besides apples for eating, applesauce, cider, hard cider. And if you're looking for hard cider, by the way, look for the fewest ingredients. A good cider should just be apples and yeast. Now, and sometimes there's sulfites added to kind of stabilize things, and if there's over a certain percentage, you would have to say sulfites added. Wines, of course, grapes contain sulfites anyway, and the amount is so low that our labeling laws require that virtually all wine has to say contains sulfites, even if the winemaker doesn't add any, so... That's something to be aware of also. That doesn't mean that the whole bunch of chemicals have been dumped into wine. It just means that it has to, if there's any in there at all, it has to appear on the label. But, yeah, the hard cider, some producers are experimenting with different yeasts, using a champagne yeast or letting the, even if the yeast sits there a little bit. Carbonation could be CO2 added at bottling or sometimes... the bottle conditioned, if a little bit of fermentation is still going on, then the bubbles will stay in the bottle. And those products, you may find a little bit of sediment in the bottom. We've had a couple of ciders where they, if they get shaken up, they get a little cloudy. It doesn't hurt anything. It's just a byproduct of the fermentation process. So we have apple cider, then vinegar, apple wine even. By adding more sugar, you can... make a wine out of apple. Back when, you know, of course, we were teenage college years, there were apple wine, Boone's Farm, I think it was, a couple of, I guess, the predecessors of wine coolers, but people were making wine with different fruits. You can still find that in southern New York State, the different fruit wines, you know, blueberry and strawberry, things like that. Again, it's just making the juice and fermenting it with a little bit of yeast and strain it, and you have something, a beverage. So it's applesauce. So first thing, applesauce we see everywhere. You know, great convenience food, I guess you'd call it. And you could get different flavors of it. You can get it now, you know, low sugar, sugar-free. I mean, the best way is really to make your own if you want something, if you want a treat. And it doesn't take that long. Apples that we use now used to be in the store only. You'd see Golden, Red Delicious, and Macintosh. Now you see many more varieties. Cortland apples are great. I use Galas at the restaurant. This Jonathan's, just so many more out there. And the nice thing to do is try them. The Granny Smith, of course, very tart for cooking. Most people like those in a pie. But sometimes you want a pie where the apples kind of get very soft and kind of mushed together rather than the distinct pieces. And that's the neat thing. You know, you could, by your preference, you could pick and choose for the texture of the pie or the product you want to end up with. So applesauce, I like to use red apples for this because what we did is we would leave the skins on the apple. You want to take the seeds out. You're going to strain it anyway, so even a couple of seeds get in there, it's not that bad. But kind of just like when we make red wine, we leave the skins and the seeds. They have what we call tannins. And that's a kind of, I don't want to say bitter, but kind of dryness that happens. I call it gum cleaning. If you, on your palate there, it kind of prepares your palate for the next food. It's actually very good with fattier foods. So we like to use the red peels in there. Of course, wash them first. And with 2 pounds of apples, you really just need about a half cup of water, or if you want to use sweet cider, this would be the time to do it. A little bit of a cook the applesauce in some sweet cider, kind of reinforce the flavor. And it takes about 20 minutes. Apples have a lot of water in them anyway. And you want to just cook until the apples are all broken down. Now you're going to strain them through a sieve, strainer, basket strainer, something to, you know, get the skins and things out. And then it may take up to a quarter cup of sugar, depending on how the apples, how sweet they were, how sweet your cider was. And then about a half teaspoon of some kind of spice or combination of spices. Just we like nutmeg, of course. Cinnamon's a natural. But I usually end up putting some powdered ginger in with apples. I like that kind of zest it gives it. Even though it's, you know, the fresh ginger, of course, has a little citrusy stuff. But the powdered ginger has a little heat to it also. It could be mace, allspice, any of those, we call them the fall spices. It's a nice thing. You could, I mean, if you want it unspiced, you could have just applesauce. We like to grate fresh nutmeg on top. But certainly flavor it the way you want. If you like cinnamon there, maybe when you're cooking the apples, just throw a cinnamon stick and, you know, maybe a couple of cloves in there. And then, of course, they're going to strain out. So you have the flavor in there without the appearance. But if you have nice red apples, the applesauce should be tinged a little bit rosy and maybe not have that appearance of, or the flavor of just sugar. You want that other element in there from the skins. Now, along that line, of course, there's you can call it a condiment or a sauce called chutney. Chutney's a great way to preserve things. Like chutneys, and you can think of it as it's along the line of a pickle, because you're cooking it, preserving it. It's a little sweet, a little spicy, a little acidic. A nice one for fall as an alternative to maybe a applesauce or cranberry jelly or cranberry sauce too, because cranberries, I like to use them with apples or pears, dried cranberries especially in a pie. Raisins go well too. Of course, it's time, you know, it's fall, grapes are being harvested, so raisins are always something that match up with apples very well. But for a chutney, and these are cooked and it kind of preserves things, you're kind of boiling the product, the fruit, in a syrup, but you have some savory elements too. You have onion, a little bit of vinegar, and some spices. So if you have cranberries, and cranberries are great, you can use the fresh ones. Cranberries frozen whole do very well. They hold up very well. They don't really change that much in the freezer like other fruits do. But they're, you know, of course, very tart. So you need some sweetener with them. So you take, you have a 1 1/4 cups of sugar and about half cup of water. So you want to make a syrup out of that. So you need to heat it up. You've got 3 1/2 cups of cranberries and 2 cups of diced apple. A small, maybe 1/4 to 1/2 cup of diced onion, 1 medium onion. I guess those medium-sized onions you find at the store. So dice that up fairly fine and put that in there. And then 1/2 cup of either golden raisins or dried cranberries, if you want to reinforce the cranberry flavor. 1/2 cup of light brown sugar, 1/4 cup of cider vinegar. So you've got all these things cooking, and of course water is going to come off the apples and the cranberries. Cranberries kind of help thicken things too. So in this I would do a teaspoon of ground ginger, a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, just an eighth of a teaspoon of allspice, and an eighth of a teaspoon of ground cloves. Also, to enhance this, a little bit of orange zest that's been on the, what they call the microplane, or even a fine grater. Maybe a tablespoon or so of orange zest in there would be good. Orange goes very well with the cranberry and the apple. So you have this substance, this mixture in the pot, and you're going to cook it. You want it to still be a little bit chunky. You don't want it, of course, the cranberries won't break down totally. Make sure the onion gets cooked. The raisins, of course, or dried cranberries should plump up. And now you've got something, you cooled off, and just seal it up tightly, keep the air off it, and chutneys hold up quite a long time. This gives you something as an accompaniment to roasts, or even if you want to serve it along with cheese, you could. Chutney, again, complements many types of food. It has that little sharpness to it, along with the sugar, and it's a good way to make your own. I used to use an apple cranberry chutney actually in a pan sauce for chicken, for sautéed chicken or pan roasted chicken, and I would have my little wine and chicken demi, which we can tell you how to make that, the nice reduced brown chicken stock, and a little bit of this chutney in there. And the chutney kind of helps thicken and flavor the sauce, puts all those, you know, the seasonings in there, and you end up with a nice quick pan sauce for, as they say, sautéed or roasted chicken. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table and look at a couple of more ways to use apples and cider. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After hundreds of small earthquakes are registered under the Salton Sea, which is located along the San Andreas Fault, people living in Southern California are being warned by state officials.
There's a possibility of a larger earthquake that might occur on the southern tip of the San Andreas Fault or in the Southern California area.
And Kelly Houston of the Governor's Office of Emergency Services says they've sent warnings to 8 counties.
And that they should take steps to make sure that they're prepared if we do have a catastrophic earthquake.
The two major party vice presidential nominees will meet in a debate tomorrow night, but nearly half of Americans currently don't know who they are. A new survey by ABC News done over the weekend finding 41% of people couldn't name Republican VP nominee Mike Pence, 46% couldn't identify the Democratic nominee Tim Kaine. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Lawns love fall. They love backyard touch football and kids diving into leaf piles. But what lawns really love is fall's cool air and warm soil. That's why now is the time to use Scott's Turf Builder Grass Seed to help repair and thicken your lawn from the long summer. Scott's Turf Builder Grass Seed grows grass quicker, thicker, and greener, guaranteed. So pick up a bag today. Fall time is yard time with Scott's.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table, talking about apples. So what's next? So, apples with seafood. Sounds a little strange, right? great for muscles, the cider cream. And this is probably a basic cider cream you could use for other foods also. But a cider sauce, the apple sauce, or apple flavored sauce, I should say. We use the dry hard cider for this. So a lot of times with mussels, you steam them in some white wine and garlic and butter and things, you know. This one we're going to do a dry hard cider. So again, be careful. Just don't get something that's, you know, there's some different flavored ones out there. There's, you know, there's cranberry cider, there's ginger flavored, there's actually, I found a Magnus pear is pretty good. That little bit of pear in there with the apple. I'll say that's all right. So, with the mussels, 2 pounds of mussels. You've got a small leek. You could use shallot if you like, or scallop. The leek's got a unique flavor. Chop up a small leek, the white part, and maybe some of the pale green part. 3 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley, a cup of dry hard cider. So, you've got your mussels cleaned. You're going to steam the mussels in the cider and leeks, parsley. To this, once the mussels are steamed, you put about a half cup of heavy cream in there. Now, if you want the sauce to thicken a little bit, I would take out the mussels, let the sauce reduce a little bit so you don't overcook the mussels. Season it with a little salt and pepper, and then you could have some sliced apples for garnish if you like. Of course, mussels normally, at least many people serve them with French fries. You could probably do an apple chip or something if you'd like. You want to keep it with that apple theme. But anyway, try using a dry cider instead of white wine sometimes. I think also, I mean, this sauce would be good for a sautéed chicken. I'm going to try an Applejack chicken this fall at the restaurant. We're going to make some changes soon on the menu. And one of the specials I'd like to do is either with roast chicken or even with nice chicken cutlets, a quick one. My version is going to have minced shallot and use Applejack and some cider. And I'm going to make it kind of like... kind of like we make our brandy peppercorn sauce. So the Applejack is the brandy. Could be cider or even white wine. And I like to put a little Dijon mustard in there too. Now, for the sauce part itself, of course we think chicken broth. What I like to use is, I mentioned it earlier, was chicken demi or veal demi. Now the demi, of course, if you're willing to tackle it, get some nice homemade stock, and of course you want it. You want to chill it overnight to get the fat off of it. And you take your good brown chicken stock and reduce it until it starts to thicken up. Now, that's, you know, process. It could take, you know, several hours, a couple of days. Brown chicken stock, of course, you brown the bones instead of just boiling them, so it does put that nice caramel flavor. But if you're searing chicken in a pan, let's say, you get skin on chicken, right? You salt and pepper it, don't flour it, but you've got a fairly hot pan, and you're going to put the skin side down and let that cook for a little bit. You don't want real, real high heat. You want fairly high, but you want it to brown and caramelize for several minutes. And sometimes it seems it's going to stick right away. If the pan's hot enough, cold pan, hot oil, don't stick. Get the pan hot, put a little bit of oil in there, or if you're using butter, but use clarified butter. But what's going to happen is there's going to be, they call them the brown bits, the fond, little flavor bombs, they call them also. They'll be sticking in the pan. Now, even if you use a skinless piece, if you don't flour the chicken, let it caramelize a little bit, you're going to get a little bit of that fond in the your saute pan. And I would not use a nonstick pan for this. You want, you know, a steel, a good metal pan. So you want those little brown bits in there. So when you, what we call deglaze with your cider and or Applejack or your wine, you'll see it starts to make a nice brown colored sauce. So in that, you use add your regular chicken broth to, and you can get that nice caramelized brown color of, say, if you used a veal stock or a demi, and then you get the flavor. It's got that that natural sweetness there. Of course, season the chicken first. Could do the same thing with pork. If you wanted to do, you know, pork tenderloins or good thick pork chops, get them browning in the pan, and you want some of that. The brown bits really are key. I've done it so many times, made simple sauce, even with, if you're pan frying a couple of steaks, and you deglaze with even water. Say if you don't want alcohol or something like that, even deglazing with water. I've made a simple sauce with just, you know, a little bit of water and some Worcestershire sauce and a pat of butter. And you've let your steak rest, pour those juices back in, and you've got a nice simple pan sauce. So with the with chicken or pork with apples, now what I would do with also is saute some apples or let them simmer in the sauce, or you could do an apple compote to go on the side. But at any rate, your applejack and some kind of other cider or wine, broth, mustard, and a little cream if you like. You could leave the sauce a brown sauce, although I would still finish it with a pat of whole unsalted butter. Again, that fat's going to spread the flavor around. Or a little bit of heavy cream. And you'll see, it, you don't want it, you know, it doesn't have to be a white sauce. It's, you want it to be just enough cream in there to enrich it, kind of pull things together. All right, so another, we get to desserts now. Of course, that's what we all think of, right? Apple pie. Who doesn't like an apple pie? And I guess one of the issues is, of course, do I cook the apples first? Do I just put them in there? I've done it either way. If you make an apple filling and put it into the pie, of course, it's going to take a little bit less time. The nice thing about a filling is you can put your thickener in there. Now, traditionally, of course, we'd sprinkle flour and put some butter pats, and that would kind of thicken things up. Some people use cornstarch. Quick cooking tapioca is pretty good because it stays clear. If you're talking for one pie, maybe 1.5 teaspoons, and you would toss your apples with this tapioca starch, because they will throw off some juice and your seasonings, and then put them into your pie shell. And you find out, advantage to cooking the apples first is you know kind of how much you're going to end up with. You can fill the pie, put the top crust on. Otherwise, if you're using just fresh raw apples, you really have to pile them up. Otherwise, as they cook, of course, there's steam going to come off, the water's going to come out, and you might end up with a kind of a dome of a pie crust and some empty space in there. So either way works, but, you know, packing them in there, you might need, you know, 3.5-4 pounds of apples in a 10-inch pie, and they'll be piled up pretty high. Now, what do you serve the pie with? Now, of course, I'm a cheddar cheese guy. I like the fruit and cheese. I like that saltiness with the sweet fruit. And, of course, ice cream, whipped cream, or you could do a combination. I would say cheddar cheese. Some people like it melted right on. Cheddar cheese and then the whipped cream would be good. But apple pies, classic. There's another something you could do if you're, I mean, it's apple crisp, it's apple cake. A Charlotte would be kind of a neat thing to try, because especially if you're not handy with pie crust. That's a lot of times people, though, they like pies, but they really, I mean, you can buy them, of course, pre-done, which, and they're not terrible. They're just flour and shortening, a little salt. That's really all it is. But if, you know, sometimes people get nervous, so is it going to be tough? You know, if you overmix it, is it going to be flaky? Is it not going to be flaky? So there is kind of an art to doing the crust. And if you're not sure, a Charlotte is nice because you can use white bread. And we'll do it a souffle dish, about a quart and a half souffle dish. So it's a round bowl with some high sides. And you need about 8 to 10 slices of white bread. You take the crusts off, and you'll cut the slices in half. Some will be diagonal, some will be just across. So we'll need a half pound of unsalted butter melted to start with. Now we're going to split this up. We're going to use about a quarter a pound to butter the bread with. Just dip the bread in the melted butter. And you're going to saute the bread just like if you were making a French toast. You want to brown the bread a little bit. And when you get that done, of course, set them aside. This will take about 6 pounds of apples. Cortland or Rome apples would be nice. Peeled and cored and sliced. 2 cups of dark brown sugar. 3/4 teaspoon of cinnamon. 1/2 teaspoon of mace. 1/2 teaspoon of allspice. You want your oven at 350. And you're going to have a hot water bath to bake this Charlotte in. So you've tossed your apples with the spices, and you take your other 1/4 pound of butter, and you're going to cook this briefly just until the sugar melts. Just until the sugar melts, not to really cook the apples too much. Once this brown sugar melts, then we can put this in the Charlotte mold you've lined with the toasted bread. Put the apples in there and then top it with any slices you have left. And again, we mean a hot water bath, so you have a pan with maybe 1 inch of water. It's just so the bottom, which would actually be the top of the souffle, doesn't burn. The water bath, 40 to 50 minutes, 350 degrees, comes out. You let it cool off a little bit, then before the butter gets too hard in the souffle dish, you know, the buttered bread, you want to unmold it, and it's going to look like a nice dome, not a dome, but a well-flattened dome. And you can cut slices of it, serve it with a little bit of whipped cream. And again, if you're still going to have your little bit of crust there, the crust that ends up being on the bottom, of course, which is the top of the Charlotte when you're baking it, that ends up getting a little browner and crisper, so that becomes kind of the base for it. And the bread kind of soaks up the juice. It's really not unlike that that summer pudding that you've seen with the raspberries and the buttered bread. It's pressed together, and the bread kind of disappears there. Well, in this case, the bread is toasted. It's on the outside. Nice alternative to an apple pie. Something else. So, what are we looking at for this sweet? Crepes, apple pancakes. Always nice. The crepes, you could, again, make a cider sauce with that. Apple fritters, done before. And fritter batter, you could say, well, why don't I just take a pancake batter and use that? And you probably could. Be kind of close. You want something, you know, with some little sweetener, a little leavening. This one here, you've got 4 large apples. You want fairly firm apples and peeled, cored, and sliced. You're going to fry these in vegetable oil. I'll take a cup of flour, 2 tablespoons of sugar, and 1 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt. So this is our dry mixture. So we'll mix these together in a bowl. Another bowl, we'll get 2/3 cup of milk, 1 egg yolk, and 1 tablespoon of butter melted and cooled. So those go into your liquid, and then you're going to combine the liquid with the solid. Your apples, I would squeeze a little fresh lemon juice on those and toss them to keep them from browning. Right before you're going to fry the fritters, you take 2 large egg whites and whip them until they're a nice froth. And you fold that into your batter. So you have leavening from the baking powder, and, of course, the leavening from the whipped egg whites gives it that nice fluffiness. And you just dip the apples into this fritter batter, fry them at 375. You could shallow fry them on a stovetop. Let them drain, and then sprinkle them with sugar or better yet, maple syrup, another nice thing we think of in the fall. I've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill's table. So apples. So anyway, these apple fritters. Something I've done with fruit fritters in the past that actually could be a dessert on its own. We could call it a rice pudding if you like. My guys would call it arroz con leche. Making a rice pudding, something nice and creamy to go with these crispy fritters would be nice. What I've done is, of course, you cook the rice in milk, and instead of the 2-to-1 ratio, it's more of like a 3-to-1. You want the rice to be very cooked, very soft, and I like to use arborio rice. I know some chefs will use even the Japanese sticky rice. The arborio rice will throw off a lot of starch. It gets nice and soft. You don't want to just take, you know, leftover rice and mix it with pudding and call it rice pudding. So we need this vanilla rice. In fact, this was traditionally the base for pear Belle Helene, poached pears with chocolate sauce, and a lot of places serve it with ice cream, but the vanilla rice is classic for that. So I like the sweetened milk. You go put your sugar in there right up front and a couple of cinnamon sticks. And simmer the rice until it's very well done, creamy. Soft rice. The milk gets kind of absorbed. It might be a little bit loose, but as it cools off, it's going to thicken up. And I say oftentimes with rice puddings, people end up folding whipped cream into it anyway to soften it. But this should give you a good creamy rice. This is actually something that could be put in a ring mold and unmolded with the fruit fritters in the center, if you like. I like some dried cranberries in this one. And what I would do is take the dried cranberries and plump them up in a little warm, could be cider, could be brandy. When you're plumping them, you soften them up a little bit, give them some flavor. That's why I think, you know, warm brandy would probably be good for this, or applejack, as long as you have it right. So that when the rice is finished, we would drain these cranberries that have been kind of flavored and fold them into the rice. And then, of course, you let it cool. You could serve this warm if you like, but chilled down. Sugar, sweetened to your liking. You can always add a little bit, but you don't necessarily have to make it too super sweet. Although, remember, when you're serving, when it does chill down, the it won't seem as sweet. What else for apples here? Let's see. Oh, stuffings. Stuffings for, we've got Turkey Day coming up in, a bunch of weeks, right? Apples are always good in your stuffing for chicken, turkey, pork chops. And for a quick apple compote, I used to serve this with roast pork. Your sliced apples, I saute them. I would use oil in case if you want to serve it cold, you don't want hard butter in there. If you're serving it warm, butter's okay. But I always squeeze a little lemon juice while the apples are cooking, and a little white wine that keeps them from darkening too much. Also, you want that acidic component, because we will put a little bit of sugar into these. Salt and pepper, salt, believe it or not. And then the spice could be, again, the ginger, cloves, allspice, any or all. I resist cinnamon sometimes because it seems to always be with the apples. Nutmeg and black pepper are, I believe, the same spice family. I've done with brown sugar and black pepper. It'll almost give you that hint of nutmeg-type spice. But warm apple compote, always a nice side dish. Apples now, we use cider in our sauerkraut. Some people put sliced apples in the sauerkraut to sweeten up the cabbage a little bit. It just seems this time of year, no end to what we use apples with. So enjoy them, and enjoy some different varieties. It's nice even to do a tasting. You know, the stores now, as they say, it used to be two or three varieties, that's all you would see, and now there's it's more and more out there. You know, the French with the simple apple tart on the puff pastry that you're probably familiar with, they like the Golden Delicious for that nice and soft apple that cooks up quickly. But check them out. Some have the good textures for cooking, some are just great for eating, and you should see them even in the big supermarkets now. There should be several varieties out there. So enjoy apples, enjoy cider. Hard cider, just an alternative to maybe beer or wine. Cook with it, enjoy it. Chef Bill signing off. We'll tune in next week. See what else we can come up with here. Thanks for listening.
is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After hundreds of small earthquakes are registered under the Salton Sea, which is located along the San Andreas Fault, people living in Southern California are being warned by state officials.